There are no shortage of decision makers across any number of different departments when it comes to adopting an expensive and high performance piece of trading technology, for example. So it's important to mix in that impactful product level content that gives them more like concrete information to go off of, while also continuing to reach them on a regular basis.
Hello and welcome to another episode of At the Forefront FinTech Conversations. I'm CJ Lengua, SVP of Account Management here at Forefront, and today we have a very special episode featuring our head of content, Sam Belden. Sam, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, CJ.
Awesome. So on today's episode, we're going to be unpacking Sam's recent blog on the B2B buyer's journey. So let's just jump right in. Sam, why don't we start with an overview of the buyer's journey and just kind of tee up the conversation for us.
Absolutely. So the buyer's journey, you'll see this concept pop up in all different industries beyond fintech, but it's basically a way to think about what the sales funnel looks like from a prospect's perspective, or in other words, the series of steps that go into making any purchasing decision. So this applies across the board. In the blog post that I wrote, I mentioned that something as simple as buying an apple employs the buyer's journey. There are hundreds, maybe dozens, but could be hundreds of factors that go into a decision to buy a particular apple from a particular store on a particular day, from your meal planning to the price point, how convenient it is to get to the grocery store to just how appetizing that apple looks. Yeah. So that's just a sense of all of the complex factors that can go into making a buying decision. Now, in B2B fintech, it's very different. The sales cycle is much longer and much more complex. And those, I would say, are two of the defining characteristics of sales in B2B fintech. Sure. However, the prospect goes through the same basic steps. They start out at the awareness phase of the buyer's journey, where they know that they have a problem and are open to solutions to solve it. The consideration phase, where they are actively looking for the best way to solve their particular problem. And then the decision phase, where they are ready to decide on a way to solve the problem and take the next steps from there. So that is the basic story that we tried to tell. How does a B2B fintech go through each of those stages, and how can marketing support the effort at every phase?
So let's then dig in the first phase of awareness. So in the blog post, you take our readers through just an overview of each phase and some of the activities specific to that phase and accomplishing the goals inherent in that phase. Right. So tell us a little bit about that awareness phase. What are some of the things that marketers ought to be considering, as they identify, awareness as something that they want to solve for and build?
Yep, absolutely. So at the awareness phase, the client knows they have a problem. They just might not have taken any steps towards trying to solve it yet. So making these prospects feel seen and heard and understood is really key. So any way that you can kind of put yourself out there, add yourself to the conversation, and identify yourself as a company that is knowledgeable and engaged on those issues, and kind of make your point in a non-salesy manner, that is going to be maybe the best way to drive results in the awareness phase. So a few worthwhile tactics might be producing content that addresses common pain points and how they could potentially be solved, again, in a non-forceful, non-salesy way, but in a way that kind of gives a sober assessment. Hey, this is a problem that a lot of firms have. Hmm. Here are some considerations to keep in mind when you are looking to solve it.
Sure.
Their SEO can be another effective tactic here. If your client is Googling their pain points or trying to explore ways that they could maybe potentially solve it in the abstract, you want to make sure that your firm is showing up listed as a potential solution provider or a firm that is engaged and knowledgeable on those topics. Paid social. It puts your message directly in front of your target audience, and it can be a great source of lead generation so that when you're ready to go a little bit more salesy down the line, further along in the buyer's journey, you've already reached those people in a way that's going to give yourself some recognition. Similarly, PR and events, things of that nature, they might not directly solve the sales process, but they get you out there so that when clients are closer to a decision, when they are ready to really start to take a critical look at the landscape and assess the ways that they could solve the problems that they're facing, your name will be on their radar and it will come to mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's it's about meeting the clients where they are, right? And that's you mentioned SEO. I sometimes have gotten the sense that B2B firms don't intrinsically value SEO the way some other firms like B2C retail firms might. Mm-hmm. But it's just so true. Whether you're buying apples or buying $1 million software, oftentimes the first thing that you do is you go to Google.
Absolutely. You know, search terms for your very niche and specific B2B fintech solution might not get a lot of traffic. They won't get as much traffic as Nike shoes, for example. But the people who do search for those terms are the exact people
and
who
they're highly motivated.
Absolutely. Yeah, SEO is no less important for a B2B firm.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's about starting to really associate yourself with the problems and the potential solutions. One thing that we sometimes advise clients on, it really depends on being efficient with it and identifying the right outlets, is even just straight up traditional digital advertising. As a potentially effective tool to build that awareness. You figure out, it might be going to your clients and asking, pick your top five clients and where do you get the news? And sure, they're going to say the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. And that might not be the most cost-effective option for a bootstrapped fintech startup. but they might start to get into the Waters Techs and the Markets Medias, the advisor hubs if they're going for wealth management. And there are ways to do that to really complement these sort of meaty, meaningful things that you mentioned, like putting out just good informative content about problems and solutions, managing your SEO and so on and so forth. So once you've successfully built that awareness and a firm's potential clients know the name, you've built that recall, that unaided recall, the next step in the journey that we go through in the blog and that we we'll put on a funnel is consideration. So the potential buyers are aware that you exist. How do you get them to consider you when they're about ready to buy some software?
Yep, there are a few different tactics that can be effective here. And basically, now that they are further along in their buyer's journey and closer to making a decision, it is less about kind of raising your hand and making sure that you're out there and more about answering their specific questions and providing a lot of detail to give them the confidence that your specific product, your specific solution is the answer that they're looking for. So here is where you need to focus on standing out from the competition and offering some product level education, if you will. I would say, you always want to be talking about the high level challenges and potential ways to solve them, but you can maybe dial that back a little bit in the consideration phase and dial up the level of detail on product features, specifics that go into what makes your product the best out there. So case studies, webinars, product videos that can answer your prospects' tough questions about how exactly does this function or what exactly is this going to look like if I were to select you. Sales presentations and product sheets that can really cut through the noise and inspire your audience and get people to take the next step and feel like you've given them enough to, include you in the conversation when they are narrowing down their list in that consideration phase. There is also, in addition to kind of answering those tough and tactical questions and producing more detailed product content to that end, you could also do things like email marketing, for example. It's a great way to check in with clients and make sure that you are still putting yourself out there and reaching them regularly and consistently during what could be a long sales cycle. Organic social is another form of that subtle reinforcement. The consideration phase, even for firms that are motivated, can take a while. There are no shortage of decision makers across any number of different departments when it comes to adopting an expensive and high performance piece of trading technology, for example. So it's important to mix in that impactful product level content that gives them more concrete information to go off of, while also continuing to reach them on a regular basis, because let's face it, you know, a sixth or seventh or eighth follow-up from your salesperson, that can start to get annoying. But mixing some marketing emails in there, some social posts, just to make sure that, again, your name and your message are reaching them. Sure. Over the course of many weeks and months, very valuable for the consideration phase and the awareness phase.
Huge. Yeah. I mean, we've heard great stories of just an email going out at just the right time that reminds a buyer or a potential buyer of the existence of this company.
And that's right.
They do sell this product that I need now. And it's especially important to share updates with new products or enhancements, so on and so forth. That could really drive that process to the next stage. Absolutely. Which is the decision. So tell us about that. How do you, you know, from the marketing POV, support that last stage of the funnel, that decision?
Absolutely. So the decision phase, everything sort of leads up to that final, sure, am I going to sign with you or not? And if you have done the first two phases right, a lot of it will be out of your hands at this phase. You've articulated your message as well as you possibly can, reached your prospects as thoughtfully as you're able to and strategically. And at a certain point, the decision rests with them. There are other providers out there, and they're going to decide what makes the most sense based on where they are and how well you've articulated that message. You know, there are obviously sales tactics that you can do, making sure that you're super responsive, you know, being able to hop on that additional demo to answer those final questions that they have when they're looking to make that ultimate call. But where marketing can really help with the decision phase is getting value out of that decision after the ink is dried. So it's not about just getting that, winning that deal and the associated revenue that comes with it. You know, with effective marketing, you can announce your new client in a press release, for example. You could produce a case study with the client on a successful implementation that you did, or an enhancement, or things of that nature. You could look to include their logo on your website. You can look to get your main contact over there to provide a testimonial that talks about how great your product is, and include that on your social channels, on your website, and sales materials, anything like that. So the decision phase is where you do lose a little bit of that control at the end, but where effective marketing can really can really move the needle is to make sure that the decision doesn't end with the decision, and that decision is fueling additional business development efforts down the line. It creates a compounding effect, and the more you win, ideally the better positioned you should be to win in the future. So that's how I like to think of the decision phase.
The more you win, the more you win.
Write that down.
I love it. You know, there's sort of like a shadow fourth phase. We don't talk about it a ton in the blog. But you're talking a lot about, you know, sort of like post-decision and how you use one win to help generate that next win. There is that, you know, the awareness consideration. You know, if you see very complex funnels in retail situations, that you might have trial, purchase, and then repeat. You know, repeat is not exactly an applicable phase in most of our clients' scenarios, because, you know, you're signing these multi-year software contracts. Right. It's not like you're buying an Apple and then another one next week.
That's right.
But there are, you know, there are definitely things that firms can do, that providers can do, to make sure that they remain sticky and they get those renewals. Because I think it's almost like it's awareness, consideration, decision, renewal, we could almost say, right? And that's where you get into things like just regular client communication, making sure that you maintain the brand that you have hopefully built up front by keeping your website fresh and up to date, staying active on social organically, like you've mentioned, making sure that you stay relevant through SEO. All of these things really just kind of continue to support the client's confidence in you as a provider that will be there when the renewal comes and will continue to be there. So just maintaining that heartbeat, you know, sort of helps in that lower funnel phase. So just another consideration. And a lot of times it's just the things that you do throughout the funnel. Just make sure that you continue to do those and don't forget about your existing clients. You know, just things to keep in mind. So this was great. I'm sure you've got a couple of nuggets for us to wrap up. Have you been saving anything juicy?
Well, I would just say, and you alluded to this, every firm's sales cycle is going to be unique it's going to be complex. Yeah. So these are general principles that you should take from what you will and apply to your own situation, your own niche in the market, where you are today, where you want to get to. And don't be afraid to think outside the box to get these ideas to where they need to be to support your business in the best way. Mm-hmm. Anything really that reinforces your brand and value proposition, that addresses clients' challenges, that answers their question, and that puts you out there and keeps kind of that foot on the gas pedal that you are a worthwhile provider and a voice worth listening to in your space.
Amen.
All of those things are going to be valuable. It's just a matter of knowing how to deploy each one the most effectively and, frankly, experimenting a little bit and finding what is most effective, what is resonating with your audience. Adapt, adjust, go back out there, repeat. That's there's where repeat comes in. So, it requires investment, requires time and effort, but get it right. And this sort of intentionality around your efforts to align with clients and where they are on their prospects and clients and where they are in their journeys in the best way possible will prime your business for growth. And that holds true whether you're selling institutional trading technology or whether you're selling Granny Smiths at the corner store. So I would leave you with that. It's these are disparate things that we're talking about, but when it comes to even something as complex as B2B fintech,
sure,
these tried and true principles are incredibly valuable. So I'll leave you with that.
Awesome. I do love me a Granny Smith.
More of an empire guy myself, but you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't discriminate. I love all apples.
That's awesome. Sam, thank you so much for your time and for your insight. This is just the latest in a series of episodes in our podcast that, if I say so myself, I think is getting better and better. It's awesome. It's absolutely worth a listen, worth a follow. If you'd like to check out some of those past episodes, please visit us at forefrontcoms.com. That's comms with two M's. We actually just made some enhancements to our site recently that'll make the podcast even more discoverable. Mm-hmm. But please check it out. Check out prior episodes. If you are a marketing thought leader who wants to come and chat with us, let us know. And we look forward to chatting next time. Thank you.
So long.